You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. I hope you guys enjoyed your Christmas, because it certainly seems like the Rockets did. After a couple of days off to eat whatever food they wanted, get their minds right after the loss to Memphis, the Rockets reported back to Toyota Center on Monday evening and took care of business against the Phoenix Suns in a big way, raced out to a 69-43 lead at the half, and this game was never really close. Rockets now 23-9 on the year, 12-2 in December, and this looks like the team that we all grew accustomed to watching during the 10-game win streak. And if you listen to me on this podcast, I never bought into the notion to panic. To me, it was about playing two very good teams in San Antonio and Memphis that shot well from behind the arc. But certainly there was some decline in performance, and seeing that it coincided with the leg injury to Clint Capela, which is going to have him out for at least another 3 weeks or so, we think, you certainly couldn't write it off. But against the Phoenix Suns, a team the Rockets are better than, the Rockets came out Monday night at Toyota Center and took care of business just as you would want them to do. Best part of this, not a single player played more than 30 minutes, and James Harden was at 30, and well, he checked out after the third quarter and never had to play in the fourth quarter at all. And that's big because the Rockets have a back-to-back. They're in Dallas tomorrow night, and that's not going to be an easy back-to-back. I know Dallas's record is poor, but that's because, well, Dirk Nowitzki has missed most of the season with an Achilles injury. With a healthier Dirk and with Rick Carlisle, with those guys playing at home, I don't expect that game to be easy, regardless of the record. Keep in mind that they beat the Clippers in LA just the other night. So for the Rockets to be able to get this win against the Suns without having to play their regulars any sort of major minutes, that's a huge, huge thing for them. Started with James Harden. I said he played his 30 minutes, 32 points, 12 assists on 50% shooting in those 30 minutes. I really thought it was one of the more impressive games of the year for James because he started so slowly. He actually started 3 of 9 from the field, 0 of 5 from 3, and it seemed like one of those games where he was trying to conserve his energy. He wasn't really getting off the ground much on potential rebounds. He wasn't driving to the basket with much authority, and it just seemed like he snapped his finger when it seemed like the Rockets needed him. There was a point in the second quarter that the Suns cut the lead to 55-41. All of a sudden, the MVP version of James Harden was back. The Rockets finished the first half on a 14-2 run, took a 69-43 lead to the break, and from then on, it was never close. So even on a night when James Harden did not really have it, he had 7 turnovers, started off slow from the field, he found a way to flip the switch. And yes, I know the Suns are an outmatched opponent, but guess what? Everybody in the league plays teams like that. It's not easy to roll up those kind of wins the way the Rockets have done to the Kings, the Lakers, the Nuggets, now the Suns in this month. If it were, everyone would have that kind of plus-minus differential that the Rockets are playing with, one of the better positive ratios in the league at this point. So to see the Rockets again take care of business against an outmatched opponent, you have to give them credit for doing so. Now, Harden, as always, individual standout. There's a few more I'll get to in just a few moments, but I want to, besides James, start by complimenting the defensive effort. I asked Mike D'Antoni before the game tonight if he viewed the games against San Antonio and Memphis as basically a team getting hot from the perimeter, aka both shot over 50% from the field, or if he thought that the Rockets' effort on the defensive end had sagged a little bit, if maybe they weren't closing out as well as they had during the 10-game win streak. And Mike said that to him, it was clearly the latter. Mike pointed out that during the 10-game win streak, the Rockets had the second-best efficiency on the defensive end in the NBA. In the last three games prior to Monday, when they were 1-2, he said they ranked 23rd. He said that was a fact that the Rockets were very aware of in the locker room. He was pointing out that the coaches had just hammered it home to those guys. And really, the Rockets came out and defended like they knew that fact. When basically the regulars checked out, and I'm going to discount the last 8 minutes of the game, because when Chinonu Anuaku, his first regular season playing time, Tyler Ennis, KJ McDaniels, Kyle Wiltshire, when those guys played, certainly there's a little bit of garbage time. But when it mattered for the Rockets, the Suns went 5 of 25 from behind the arc. That's just 20%. The three prior games, two of those were losses. Rockets opponents went 46.6%. Now, certainly, there's a little bit of randomness. Certainly, some teams are hot and some teams are cold. Maybe this was a cold night for the Suns. Maybe it was a positive night for the Spurs and Grizzlies. But it's not all that. To drop from 47% over three games to 20%, some of it is that the Rockets did have a better focus on the defensive end. And it goes back to, you know, if you listen to this podcast, I've said the Rockets were victimized by some bad luck because Vince Carter, James Ennis, guys like that in Memphis, they haven't shot like that all year long, and yet that's what they did against the Rockets on Friday night. From a fan perspective, from a media perspective, I can sit here and tell you guys that, you know what, this was probably just some bad luck, and if the Rockets played Memphis a lot more times, that wouldn't happen. But from a Rockets standpoint, you don't want to hear them say that. You want to hear the team focus on controlling what they can control. And so tonight, the Rockets went out, full effort, took care of business. They contested well on threes, which is why the Suns started 5 of 25 from behind the arc. I would point out that Trevor Ariza, huge part of the game, even though he shot just 3 of 9 from the field, Ariza had 10 rebounds. He was a team best plus 25 in the plus minus department. So it shows you the kind of focus that he had. For the Rockets defensively, it's always Trevor Ariza and Pat Beverley that lead the way. And I think that was certainly the case tonight. Even when Ariza went 1 of 7 from behind the arc, he was huge on the glass. He was huge closing out on threes, and that allowed the Rockets to get off to such a good start because Phoenix is not a terrible offensive team, and to hold them to 43 points in the first half, that's what gave the Rockets an opportunity that, well, if they made so many threes, which they did, to score 69 points in the first half, that they could bury them. And as I said earlier, that was particularly important because the Rockets have Dallas waiting on Tuesday night. Not going to be as easy a game as it might look based on the records now that Dirk Nowitzki is playing. So the Rockets not having to play anyone over 30 minutes, that's particularly crucial. Mike D'Antoni talked to us before the game. He said he was hoping to hold Nene 20 minutes tops. Actually, Nene ended up playing just 14 minutes. And that's great because what you could tell from D'Antoni's comments, he's a little concerned about the center rotation without Clint Capella. Certainly Montrezl Harrell continues to play well. I'll get to that in a moment. But right now, Nene, if you want to keep him at 20 minutes or under, and you probably have to do that, especially in back-to-back scenarios, D'Antoni pointed out that the Rockets have 17 games in January, and that's not even including the two sets of back-to-backs they have this week. So the point is that over the next 5 weeks or so, the Rockets are going to have a ton of games in a short time period. And for a veteran like Nene, who up until a couple of weeks ago did not even play in back-to-backs and has been averaging about 15 to 20 minutes per game, that's pretty troublesome because Montrezl Harrell, while he's given you some encouraging signs over the past week, you don't want to depend on him as a 30 minutes per game center. But aside from that, if you're not going to play Harrell 30 minutes and you're going to cap Nene at 15 to 20, well, there's not much else you can do at that position other than steal a few small ball minutes with Ryan Anderson. Maybe if Anuaku shows you something, and he did have a couple of moments today. I thought his touch was actually pretty decent around the bucket, as good as you could hope for a rookie, but he's certainly still very raw. But in terms of how you manage Nene, the best thing you can do, go out and take care of business against the teams that you should beat by a healthy margin. And if you do that, you can cap his minutes and you can play him on both ends of the back-to-back. And that's a luxury that the Rockets will be able to use tomorrow night in Dallas because they didn't have to extend him tonight. Now, part of it's because of the team's play. Otherwise, let's give some credit to Montrezl Harrell. Tonight, Harrell, in his 23 minutes, 14 points, 5 of 6 shooting, only 3 rebounds, but even against a pretty good defensive center in Tyson Chandler, Harrell was great finishing near the rim. I should point out that Harrell, through 3 games as a starter, he is now 20 of 28. He's averaging over 15 points per game on 71%+ shooting from the field. 15 points on 71% shooting. Now, he's not the rebounder that Clint Capella is. He doesn't quite have the size. He's also not quite the shot blocker. But if anything, he might be even a little better offensively when you look at his speed and his ability to finish in traffic. He even showed a little bit of a hook shot at times on Monday night. So again, I'm not trying to mitigate the impact of Clint Capella. All I'm trying to tell you guys is that Montrezl Harrell is proving worthy of those minutes. And he does have some rebounding limitations given his size. I don't know that there's many ways around that. I don't think at any point in Montrezl Harrell's career is he going to be a good rebounder for a big man. There are just obvious limitations there. But maybe if you could balance him with Nene, as we said, you can play Nene on both ends of these back-to-backs if you take care of business when you can, then you can find yourself a good combination of Harrell's speed, his ability to score, because 15 points and averaging basically about 25 minutes on 70% shooting, that's not easy. That's incredibly good numbers, and it's a good scheme, but he's finishing on a lot of the same plays that Capella finished on, and I think that's why the Rockets moved Harrell into the starting lineup, so they could take advantage of some of those same synergies that they like to use with Capella, especially early in games. But you just have to hope that Nene is staying fresh off the bench, a more physical presence. I know he doesn't move that well side to side, but at least in terms of protecting the rim, he's a more physical body than Montrez. He's a little bit better rebounder, and so hopefully that can at least give you a band-aid for these next couple of weeks without Clint Capella. I'm not trying to mitigate his absence. You certainly feel it some, and I think it's fair to say that even though the San Antonio and Memphis games, the Rockets lost because the opponent shot so well from three, part of that is probably because not having Clint Capella inside, some of the guards feel like they have to help a little bit more with Montrezl Harrell in the middle, and that might free up the shooters a little more. So again, I'm not trying to mitigate Clint Capella. All I'm trying to do is tell you guys that they can survive without him. That's all the Rockets are trying to do, is survive this stretch. Mike D'Antoni said before the game against the Suns that he expects Capella back in January, so there's nothing new or negative on that front. Everything seems to be progressing as we would expect. It's 1 week out of four, and for now, Harrell and Nene are holding their own. I think the Rockets are getting as much as they could hope for out of that position. Now, Harrell's one part of why the Rockets started this game well and have started a lot of games well of late. The other part, Ryan Anderson. 6 of 9 tonight, 15 points, 5 rebounds in just 25 minutes, 3 of 5 from 3. The big thing for Ryan, we're finally seeing him start to shoot at home the way he does on the road. And sure, he has his defensive limitations, although he tries hard, that's a big part of it. But we know there are certain matchups that he may not play down the stretch. He'll be exploited from time to time. The one thing that you really want out of Ryan Anderson, I've made this comparison before, but you can look at him almost like the Clippers look at J.J. Redick, in that even for a team like the Rockets, sometimes it's not easy to start a half, especially to start a game, and get quite into your rhythm. There's rust, it takes a while to get into the flow, and so while the Rockets are kind of, you know, easing their way in, if Ryan Anderson, if you have someone like that to make a couple of threes early in the first and third quarters, it does so much. It allows the offense to ease their way in. It also makes the defense respect his spacing even more, which opens up the floor more to the likes of James Harden, Pat Beverly, Eric Gordon, whoever wants to drive. So I know he's a different position. I know he's a different style. But I think what we're seeing lately, Ryan Anderson is playing a lot of that same type of role. And there was an interesting stat tonight that the Rockets PR team put out that Ryan has scored 10 or more points 6 different times this season. 2 of those 6 have been in the past 2 games. And I think that's the formula you want for the Rockets, because certainly there are going to be some matchups when he can't finish the game due to defensive limitations. We know what those are. But he's going to be starting. That's what you're paying him to do. And so hopefully you'll see him continue to start those games well, come in locked in from a shooting perspective, because if he does, that's only going to open the floor more and more for the remainder of your Houston Rockets. Now, one final note before I wrap up this podcast. Again, Rockets 131-115 winners over the Suns. Rockets now 23-9 on the year, 12-2 in December, in firm position for the number 3 seed in the West at the moment. You may have seen me tweet it during the game, but Donatas Moniunis, it's now been 11 days since the Rockets renounced his rights. And at the moment, certainly the Rockets continue to win games without him. I don't think there's a lot of people wondering, well, where is he? If only the Rockets had Moniunis, when they're putting up big wins against the Suns, and the 16-point margin was not indicative of just how much of a blowout this was. It's easy to get forgotten. But I did a few shows on that, and there was a huge conspiracy theory in Rockets circles. If you guys are on Clutch Fans, any of the message boards, I'm sure you saw it, that maybe the league intervened, maybe there was some kind of technicality that because the Rockets matched the contract from Detroit, they weren't allowed to negotiate a new one, yada, yada, yada. Moniunis has now been an unrestricted free agent for 11 days. If it was as simple as he had all this value, but simply there was some kind of technicality, the Rockets couldn't have him, why in the world would another team not have jumped on him over these 11 days? There are a lot of bad teams in the NBA that could use the services of a healthy Donatas Moniunis if it was as simple as basically just needing a roster spot, because right now the Rockets don't have his rights. He can sign wherever he wants. So the reason I bring this up, I thought about this during the game tonight. It seems very clear that the theory I was telling you guys, I don't know exactly what it is, but just that there's more to the story than simply there being some sort of financial or legal reason why the Rockets couldn't sign him. Because if he was able to sign, if he was ready to go, why in the world would it take this long now that he's an unrestricted free agent? I don't know what the full story is. We may never know, but we have not seen a team sign him. We haven't even heard his agent, BJ Armstrong, or Demo even release a statement as to what happened. So it's not fair for me to speculate on what that might be. All I'm telling you guys is I think it's pretty clear right now that this is not the Rockets trying to pull a fast one. There is a very serious concern about something, and it's not just the Rockets. It's all over the NBA. There's a reason this thing has dragged out 11 days now. And it's not just that, well, the Rockets wanted to move on or there was some sort of NBA intervention. There's something going on that we don't know the full details of yet. It's not fair for us to speculate, but just know that it's not a matter of some unique thing between Monty Unis and the Rockets. There's something going on there, and that's why he's not a part of this team. For now, though, I'll get back and close out this podcast by focusing on those who are part of the team. Again, Rockets 131-115 winners, 23-9 on the year, 12-2 in December. Big night for seemingly everyone. Didn't even touch on the bench. Eric Gordon, 5 of 13, 15 points. Corey Brewer played 18 minutes, just 3 of 3 from the field, but I thought he was particularly influential on the defensive end. I also thought it was kind of interesting that Anuaku got more minutes. He got eight minutes. He got in before the likes of Tyler Ennis and KJ McDaniels, and even Kyle Wilcher. And I think that's because while Mike D'Antoni, you know, he's certainly not ready to put a rookie, Anuaku, in his rotation anytime soon, because of that lack of depth at center, because of the possibility that, well, maybe you have to extend Nene on one end of a back-to-back, and he can't play the other end, and it's before Clint Capela is ready. Maybe there is going to be a time in the next 3 weeks where the Rockets are out of bodies, and they simply need Anuaku at the center position. They experimented with that tonight in his 8 minutes. 6 points, 2 of 2 shooting, made both free throws, had 3 rebounds. It was about as encouraging an outing as you could hope for a rookie. I think he's clearly still learning the game defensively. The speed of the game is much higher than what he saw at Louisville. But in terms of first impressions, for a rookie drafted in the second round, it's hard to ask for much more. He looks like a very capable body, and if the Rockets need that over the next month, and they may well, because it's not like you're going to be able to limit Nene's minutes on every back-to-back like the Rockets were on Monday because of the Suns being such a weak opponent, it's nice to know that Anuaku came in ready. And you can tell that the work he's put in, both at the free throw line as well as on the offensive end, those were his big weaknesses. We knew he was an impact defensive player. Questions were on the offensive end of the floor and his free throw shooting, and you can tell he's been putting in the work. And you know, I don't think he's ready to enter the rotation by any means, but as far as being a rookie, if you need him, he's giving you, he appears to be as ready as he possibly could be, and that's about the highest compliment that I could think to give him at this particular point in time, because it's just very early in his development. Anyway, I'll wrap up the show there. Again, I'm Ben Dubose. This is Locked On Rockets. Appreciate all of you guys for listening. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Dubose. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Rockets. You can also email the show at lockedonrockets@gmail.com. If you've got questions for me or suggestions how to improve the show, whatever it is, we want to be there for you. We want this to be your daily source of information about your favorite basketball team. It's been a great season on the court, Rockets 23-9. I'm enjoying hosting the podcast, and so if there's anything I can do to improve this, improve your knowledge of the team, just let me know. I'll be happy to do that. Rockets have a ton of home games coming up. They're in Dallas tomorrow night, but Clippers, Knicks on the 30th and 31st, then the Wizards and Oklahoma City next week. So you're looking at, over the next 9 days, 4 home games, 5 of 6 here. So there's a big chance for the Rockets to make up a lot of games in the standings. And if you've got questions that you'd like for me to ask any of the players, Mike D'Antoni, don't hesitate to let me know. Twitter, email, I'm happy to be your resource and see what we can find out. Closing thought, don't take any of this for granted. I know the Suns are bad. Seriously, look at the Clippers, who are the Rockets' closest competition for that number 3 seed behind the Warriors and Spurs. Clippers just lost to the Lakers on Christmas night, last night. Now, I know part of that's because Chris Paul and Blake Griffin are out. Yeah, it's true. Well, you know what? James Harden is out there playing. So is Ryan Anderson. So are Eric Gordon. The Rockets' main players this year have been incredibly durable, and that's a trait. And while it might be a little fortunate in the cases of Eric Gordon and Ryan Anderson, given their history, it's certainly not in the case of James Harden. And it's another reason why, another feather in his cap for the MVP case, because James continues to be one of the more durable players in the NBA, and having him out there to have games like he did Monday night, 32 points, 12 assists, that's a big reason why the Rockets don't lose games like this one to the Suns. They're able to take care of business in a way that their competition, see the Clippers against the Lakers last night, were not. So enjoy it, Rockets fans. 23-9 on December 26th. I don't think anyone could reasonably hope for any better. Back at it tomorrow night in Dallas. They're 2-0 against the Mavs this year. I know that's everybody's biggest rival. Everyone would love to, or not, they're not 2-0, they're 3-0, excuse me. They had two games early in the year, and then the one in December. So they actually go for a 4-0 sweep against Dallas. How sweet would that be if you're a Rockets fan? And hopefully they can get that tomorrow night in Dallas. Either way, I'll be with you on Twitter on this show. Just stay tuned to me at Ben Dubose and this show at Locked On Rockets, and we'll have content with you throughout the day on Tuesday as the Rockets get ready. For now, good night. Enjoy the win. Rockets 131, Suns 115. Rockets now 23-9 on the season. Talk to you guys on Tuesday night following the game in Dallas.